Praise God. Let's go ahead and look on your sheet there. We're going to recap some. It's been a while since we were on this. So we'll get back hooked up. Look at, and obviously we can't recap everything that we've covered. I believe this is part 8. So if you haven't been with us, go back and listen to the previous messages because these are building on one another. You need to hear the previous ones in order to get fully everything. We can't go back and recap, but we're believing God that today will be good. Even if you haven't been with us, you're going to get what you need. But I would encourage you to go back and listen to the previous messages. Luke 2:40, it says, "And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." This is talking about Jesus. "And the child grew and became strong in spirit." That's our title. "Strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." It should be our desire to be spiritually strong. And we've been talking about what that means. What does it mean to be strong spiritually? There's different ideas about that. But we want to be strong spiritually. Ephesians 3:14, go ahead and look on your sheet. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God." So it says there, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. We talked about this. We're going to get into this more today. The love of God, we want to flow with the love of God. God is love, and truly being spiritual is walking in love. We're going to touch on that again today. 1 Corinthians 3:1. We're just recapping some scriptures we've read. 3:1, and then we'll go to 13:1. But 1 Corinthians 3:1 says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal. As to babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. We spent a good amount of that time last time talking about this. Paul is saying here, I could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes, or we would say babies in Christ. So he's contrasting being carnal or natural and being spiritual. And he said, if you're natural, if you're carnal, that you're a baby. And we spent some time on that last year. Last time we may get in a little bit into some things here. We definitely will, related to what we're talking about. But notice, he said, I couldn't speak to you as to somebody that's spiritual. And we've been talking about, what does that mean? What is a spiritual person? But he said, I had to speak to you as to somebody natural or somebody that is like a baby, a spiritual baby. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. Again, I think we'll just stay on your sheet there. Now let's go ahead and turn over to 1 Corinthians 13. Lay your eyes on 1 Corinthians 13. Again, we're just recapping here, but get everybody together so we can go further. First Corinthians 13. Verse 1. It says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. We spent some time here as well, but just recapping, notice these verses. These are talking about a number of things that people would consider, well, that's spiritual. If you do this, this is spiritual. Well, I mean, it's not that you're not flowing with the Spirit, but notice, go back to verse 1. Notice what the Apostle Paul says. You could do these things, but then if you don't do them a certain way, it's worth nothing. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. In other words, if I could speak boldly with heavenly language, I could speak with the tongue. It says tongues of men and angels, but though I speak brilliantly in English, though I speak in other tongues, if I don't do it in love, I'm just noise. Look at verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, you know, if you could speak with all prophecy, people look and say, oh, that's amazing, they're prophesying. Well, thank God for it. And, you know, mysteries and knowledge come forth through some individual. But he said, or if I have all faith so I could remove mountains. That's a good thing, isn't it? But he said, if I don't do it in love, I'm what? Nothing. Are we getting the hint here? He said, you could do this, but if you don't do it in a certain way, it's not just, you know, a little less powerful. It's nothing. Or it's just noise. Look at verse 3. Surely this, you know, surely people say, well, though it says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, what if I lay down my life, I give all my money away, surely I'm spiritual because I'm doing it for the gospel. Well, how are you doing it? That's the key. It says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, surely become a martyr, lay down my life for somebody. But he said, but if I have not love, it profits me nothing. So basically, anything we do, it can look real spiritual or like you're really doing it for God, but if it's not motivated by love, then the Bible says it's noise, it's nothing, it profits us nothing. That would be contrary to the way a lot of people think, wouldn't it? Yes. A lot of people in Christian circles would look at certain things, surely this is somebody that's doing a lot for the kingdom of God because they're doing X, Y, Z, and you could just put any of these things in there. But the Bible here says, what's the motive? The Bible says God looks on the heart. And so we need to be aware of how we're doing things, why we're doing things. Go to the next verse, look at verse 4. Now, I believe we're going to come back to this and look at this more closely in another version, but I just want to read it right now. It says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. So it's telling us what love is like, what it is. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Everybody say never.
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 See, we use the word never and we don't really mean never. Like, well, I never do this. What we really mean is I may do it rarely. You know, somebody said, never say never. Well, you just did. But never, the Bible here, when the Bible says something, it means what it says. It says love never fails. That means love is always the way. Love is always the way. And we can see why in these next verses we're going to read. Go ahead and turn over to 1 John 4. And we're just getting going here. A lot of this, we've gone over some of this before, but we want to get everybody on the same page. set the groundwork for what we'll be covering today. 1 John 4. And go to verse 7. Of course, it's on your sheet, it's on the screen, but if you have your Bible, you should look at it. 1 John 4, verse 7. It said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Now let's stop there. Verse 10 says, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us." So He set the example. See, so many religions in the world are trying to get us to do something to qualify for whatever, God or gods or whatever they believe. You got to do something to qualify to get something from the deity, right? See, Christianity, see, there's one true God, and He set the example before you and I did anything for Him. In fact, He did it before anybody in this room was born. He laid down His life. The Son of God came and laid down His life for us, and He did it out of love. And that's exactly what this is saying. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So He gave His Son to pay for us. That's love. He did it first. It's not that we loved Him, it's that He loved us. Because love gives. Love doesn't wait for a response. Love paves the way. Love sets the example. And the world says, "Well, what are you going to do for me? And then I may do something for you if I feel like it." Right? But God said, "I am sending my Son to die for you," knowing full well that many people would reject it. You think about that. Jesus did what He did knowing that people would reject Him. Imagine doing what He did and having the people that you created around you spitting on you, blaspheming, hitting you in the head, pushing a crown of thorns into your head, and then crucifying you. And these are the people He is dying for. The people that did that to Him were just as much part of who He was paying for as you and I are. Yet He did it, and He certainly wasn't waiting for a payment. Was He? No, He did it first. Verse 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." See, it's because He loved us, now we can do something. We're not doing it to get something from God, but we're doing it because of what He did. It's a response to what He did and to His love for us. Now, we're talking about being spiritual. Verse 12, "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us." Verse 13, "By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. No, look at verse 12, the beginning. No one has seen God at any time. When he's saying this in the context of love, now I'm going to skip down a few verses, but notice he said, no one's seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. No one's seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us. He first said, God did this for us. And then he's saying, we ought to love one another. And then he says, well, no one's seen God, but if God abides in you, then if we love one another, God abides in us. Now skip down to verse 19. We love Him because He first loved us. What we were saying, right? Look at the next verse. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Verse 21, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must also, or must love his brother also. And this is where the rubber meets the road. I love God. I do all these things for God. We go back to the list in 1 Corinthians. I give my money. You wouldn't be saying this if you did this. You know, I gave my life, to my body to be burned. Well, you're not going to be saying that to anybody after that. But, you know, I gave my left arm, or I did this for God. I speak for God. I believe Him. I prophesy. I love God. Do you know how the main way you see that you love God? How do you treat people? Let's read this part again. Verse 19, we love Him because He first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is what?
Liar.
Now we can skip ahead. The good news is, if you're born again, you have this love shed abroad in your heart. But you have a choice on whether you're going to yield to it or not. We have a choice. And if we say, oh, I love God, love God, love God, but we won't walk in love with the people around us, we're not as spiritual as we might think. Do you hear me? See, spiritual is not what a lot of people think it is. And we just read those verses in 1 Corinthians, right? We spent a whole lot of time there. But God Almighty, we read back in verse 8, God is love. And it's saying it's the example of what Jesus did for us. He's the example. And He did not do it getting anything in return. Well, so-and-so did such-and-such to me. Okay. Who's our example? What did they do to Him? They killed Him. And people reject Him every day. We know it, right? In this world, people basically do the same thing. They may not physically be spitting on Him, but they spit on the Word of God. They reject Jesus, say very ignorant things about the Son of God and God Almighty. You know, talk blasphemy. Doesn't exist. Made up story. Just ignorant. If they understood, and may think they understand who they're talking about, what they're saying, the gravity. We're talking about the King of the universe. And Jesus died so that everybody could be right from Him. Legally, That the way has been made for men, when I say men generally, you know, mankind, men and women, to believe on Jesus, to be made right with God, to come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And people spit on that and say, nope, no thank you. They're not, they don't know they're saying this, but they say, no thank you, I'll stay where I am. I'll stay in the kingdom of darkness. Because they don't believe it's real. Well, not believing it's real doesn't change the fact that it's real. But God knew, Jesus knew that they would reject him. He knew what would happen in 2018. He knew people would think they're too smart to believe in God, too educated to believe in God. We know better. But he did it anyway. I mean, most of us, dare say all of us, if you were looking forward to the world now, and you wouldn't even have to look forward to the world now, if he just looked forward, and it's probably, you know, he got, Jesus' flesh was not jumping up and down to be separated, to go through the physical torment he was about to go through, and to be separated from his Father for us. The Bible says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, but there was something recoiling in him. In the garden, right? Oh, yeah. But he did it. He went through for you and I, but there was no, like, he knew that people would believe on him, and that's why he did it. But he also knew there's a lot of people that were going to reject him, but he still died for them. That's what love does. Love does not pick and choose. The world, you just look at the way the world acts. They very much, if you do this for me, then I will do something for you. Like I said, maybe, if I feel like it. That's the way the world is. Let's see what can you do for me. That's the way the world is. God's love is not like that. It says, I'm going to do it. Anyway. If anybody says that's easy on your flesh, it's not true. We all have flesh. But we don't walk according to our flesh if we're spiritual. If we're spiritual, we walk according to our heart or our spirit. Let's skip down to Romans 5. Let's just look at it on your sheet. Romans 5, verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And read that last part again. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So the love of God, not the love of man, the love of God has been, those that, like he just started out, he said, having been justified by faith, as if we have believed, confessed Jesus as our Lord, then something happens. We are born again. Our spirits have been recreated. Okay? And the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. Has been. That means we have it. The love of God. The love of God, that the same love that Jesus was operating in when he died for all mankind, when they did nothing for him. That love has been poured out, not just like, you know, a little eyedropper, but poured out in our hearts. So we have it. Everybody say, I have it. So I have the love of God. It's been poured out in my heart. Say, I have the love of God in me. Guess what? That means we can't say we can't. We have it. Well, I wish I could. No, the Bible says we have it. Right? Have it. Well, if you have something, are you trying to get it? No, you have it. We have it. Now we have to use it. That's another thing. Anybody have anything at home you're not using? You that have been in a house for a while or a place of residence or just lived on the earth for a while, have anything in an attic, basement, shed that you have but you're not using? Of course. Well, I have that. Okay? Like somebody I know was saying, I saw a picture of him, you know, and he had a guitar and he was, electric guitar, he was playing it and his child was there looking at it. I said, oh, you play the guitar? He goes, I own a guitar. In other words, I can't really play. I mean, I can mess around, but I'm not good. Well, you can have something and not really utilize it, right? You realize we have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, but that doesn't mean we're operating in it. And to the degree that we're operating in this is the degree that we're operating according to our heart. Now, I'm not saying that if you're flowing with the Spirit of God in certain things, we talked about this, you are yielding to your spirit. But if you just turn that on little bits, but generally you're not yielding to the Spirit of God, then in everyday life, then there's a whole lot of your life that you're not operating spiritual. You know where we really find out if we're operating spiritually or not? At home. At home. Because, I mean, when we're around people all the time, the people that we live with, we're going to be tempted to get out of love just by living with somebody. We are going to be very much tempted to get out of love and not yield to our spirit. You guys are all really quiet right now. I don't need to ask for a show of hands. Everybody in here knows it's true. Right? You're going to be tempted. We can act all sanctified and spiritual in church for an hour and a half, 45 minutes, wherever we go. If you get here early and volunteer, you know you got to tack some on. If you go out to lunch, it's a lot more. But, you know, this is a short period of time compared to somebody living with you where everything comes down. You know? You can push, you know as well as I can do, you push stuff off at work. People do it all the time. They're under a lot of pressure, but they're just going to hold it and not say anything there. But when you go home, or even not wait till you get home, you're in the car, you know, road rage, you know, people are going down, they're getting mad on the way home because of something that happened at work. Right? There are windows in our cars, right? And they're transparent. And they're not soundproof either. You know? It's like people act like when they're going down the highway, nobody can see them. Us, you know, we've all done stuff. I'm not pointing any fingers, not judging anybody. Just a thought. Now, you may have a soundproof, you know, you go around in a limousine with dark windows and it's completely bulletproof and soundproof. Maybe that's a different thing, but no, we walk. We have stuff happen to us and people put it off. And you know who we take it out on? People that we live with. The people that are closest to us. Come on. We're tempted to, let us put it that way, okay? Is it not true? Well, the good news is we have the love of God shed abroad in our heart. But we have to yield to it. We yield to it. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord. Let's go over to Galatians. Look on your sheet on Galatians. I don't think we're ready to go to 1 Corinthians 13 yet. I'm back there. Galatians 5, verse 16. We read this last time we spent some time here, but let's go over some of this. Galatians 5, 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. But the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are, now just read, look at this, we read this last time, but just look at what is the Bible calls the works of the flesh, because some people, if you just pick some of this out, they said, oh, that's spiritual. Well, you may be having spiritual pressure, but at the end of the day, these things are works of the flesh. And some of these things in this list would surprise some people. Because people say, oh, that's a demonic thing. No, I'm not saying the devil isn't involved in pushing you, but a lot of things, it's just people's flesh. And they're around a world that's influenced and fallen and influenced by the enemy. So it's not that hard to yield to your flesh, which is influenced by a fallen world. Your flesh and my flesh, it just wants to do what it wants to do, when it wants to do it. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. It's work of the flesh. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. What has been shed abroad in our heart? The love of God has been shed abroad in our heart, which is our spirit. If we're going to walk in the Spirit according to our spirit, we're going to walk according to what our spirit's prompting us to do. God is love. Amen. If we're motivated by His Spirit, we're going to be motivated by love. And we just read in 1 Corinthians all these things that people would say, well, surely that's spiritual. If it's not motivated by love, it's not all that people think it is. God is motivated by love. And we as Christians And if we're walking according to the Spirit, we are going to be yielding to our born-again spirit, to that love that's on the inside of us. And the more we do it, the more we're walking spiritually. Amen. Not just when we're around certain people at certain times. Guys, this is where, like I said, this is where the rubber meets the road. You will be pushed in your flesh not to yield to love. And if we think we're so spiritual, and like we said, we love God and we're holy, you can know what the Bible says, and you can be able to quote 500 verses, but if we cannot love the person that's across from us and yield to love, we are less spiritual than we think. Here's the good news. A lot of people... See, some people walk in love more than they realize, and they think they'll discount the spirituality that they're walking in because they think they're not doing something that's considered spiritual, like what we were saying. Well, I just don't do this and that. But if we are walking in love, that is the true mark. You're walking like God. Do you know when you're walking in love the strongest? When you want to smack somebody. I'm serious. When your flesh wants to tell them where to go. When your flesh wants to stomp out the door, close it, and get in your car. When you don't do it and put it down and talk and yield to love, that is when you're walking in love the strongest. Not when you feel like it. When you have all the gushy feelings... And you're just, you're out on a date, and there's, the lighting in the background is nice, and you're eating good food, and, ooh, I just love you. That is not when you're walking in love the strongest. All the feelings are there, your flesh is saying, yeah. Just that, this is the, you're dressed up, you have, you're eating all this good stuff, everybody around is calm, and you're out, and yeah, your flesh is going, yeah. That's not when you're walking in love the strongest. Now, I'm not saying that can't be an act of love, and you're doing, you should date. You should water the relationship. Absolutely, that's how you fend off other stuff from happening. Amen. That's a bad place just to get everybody got quiet. We have to use wisdom in these things. We can't let our relationships just go and not maintain them and then wonder why it is hard. We're going to have challenges in our flesh regardless. So we need to cultivate and maintain our relationships. But we're going to be challenged in our flesh. Somebody's going to do something that rubs you the wrong way, and we have a choice. And if we yield to the flesh, this list that we just read over and over and over, we need to examine. Well, let's say it this way. We need to realize we have a choice that doesn't have to be, and that we need to yield to what is already on the inside of us. And you know what a lot of people are doing is waiting for the feeling. We won't make it if we wait for the feeling. If you only walk in love when you feel like it, let me ask you. God did it. He sent Jesus before anybody was responding to Him. If we would, seriously, think about Jesus walking down, you know, when they are leading him, got him chained and leading him to be examined by these people in the middle of the night, people beating him up, blaspheming. Then it goes in the next day and they're, you know, I mean, whipping him, scourging him beyond belief. You don't think the flesh is crying out saying, this is enough of this? I mean, we're talking about something beyond, I would say, for sure, anybody in this room has ever experienced. We're talking about torture. Just, I mean, think about, you know, as well as I do, if you get hit in the face, there's an automatic reaction. Like, think if you're a kid or somebody, you know, accidentally hits you, especially like in the nose or something, there's a reaction. You want to hit back, right? It hurts. One time. And they were whipping him and ripping the flesh off him. You don't think there's reaction to be like, if you're going by the flesh, this is over. We're done with you. Do you realize who you're talking to? Do you realize who you're messing with? This is God. But he didn't react. He didn't defend himself. He took it. Why? Because he was walking in love toward you and I. You and me, he was not reacting out of the flesh. And yet, I mean, it's tempting. You and I know as well as, you know, we know somebody can push you or say something and it's like, what did they say that for? I don't have to take this. I don't like that feeling. I want to tell them where to get off. Let's be honest, right? But love can take a lot more than that. Glory to God. But look what I did. I mean, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I'm not judging anybody. We're talking about what is viewed as spiritual versus what is really spiritual. Yielding to God for, and I'm not negating the gifts of the Spirit or flowing with the Spirit of God. That is not what I'm saying, okay? Preaching and flowing with the Spirit of God and prophesying. The Bible is not saying those things are bad. It's saying if you do those things with the wrong motivation, it's nothing. Because you can, that's yielding to the Spirit of God too. But when you're in the middle and your flesh wants to retaliate and you yield to the Spirit of God, you're doing the same thing. You're yielding to love. You're yielding to the Spirit. And that's where we live. Like day in and day out. And people would say, well, but I'm doing such and such. And almost this, well, I am spiritual because I do such and such, but behind the scenes can be nasty. You know, that just, what it's what we're yielding to. One minute yielding to the Spirit of God, next minute yielding to the enemy. But we have the love of God where? In our heart. So we can yield. Yield. What does that mean? What does it mean when we're driving and we yield? When you're going on the on-ramp and there's another person to come in and you have the sign to yield. What does that mean? You give way to that other car. In other words, if they're going at the same time, you slow down so they can go ahead of you. Do you realize your flesh will be pressed to get in somebody's face? If we yield to the flesh, then we say, we slow down and let the flesh go. And how does that turn out? Fireworks. But you know what? You can be having the pressure to retaliate, but the Spirit of God's there too. And if we'll just check up, the Spirit of God's saying, don't say that, do this. Don't react that way, keep your mouth shut. Don't react that way, tell them you love them. And see, it's like two things coming together, and if you, instead of yielding to the flesh, you put that down and you yield to the Spirit of God and say whatever you're told to say. That is yielding to the Spirit. That is walking in the Spirit. And people say, well, that's just life. Yes, it's life. This is where the reality of Christianity happens. We can, again, we're not negating certain things or not making light. Thank God for flowing with the Spirit. But spiritual is so much more, this is going to sound contradictory, but I'm going to say it, is so much more natural than most people think. Not saying carnal, we're saying how we operate in daily things, how we operate on the job, how we operate with our family, how we operate with our finances. Well, that's just normal, that's life. How are we doing it? Are we yielding to love? Are we walking in love? Are we walking according to the Spirit of God? Because that's spiritual. Well, spiritual is only over here. It's only if you get into... No, that's man-made. That's not the Bible. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. You guys doing all right? Let's keep going, going to Romans. Romans 8, verse 1. Everybody say, I have the love of God, shed abroad, poured out in my heart. Say it one more time. I have the love of God poured out in my heart. Right now. Now, if you've been born again, if you haven't been born again, talk to us afterwards. We can talk about that. One more time. I have the love of God. I have the love of God. I have the love of God. Poured out in my heart, in my spirit, right now. I can yield to it anytime that I choose to yield. Anywhere I choose to yield. I have the ability. By God's grace, I can do what He told me I can do. Amen. Romans 8, verse 1 says, There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, or naturally minded, fleshly minded, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Oh yeah. Life and peace. Is that not what the whole world is searching for? Life and peace. But we just saw. How do you get that? To be carnally minded or fleshly minded, we saw the works of the flesh, that's death. It's death in every area. Any area that we're fleshly minded in, that we yield to the flesh, produces death. Any area that we're spiritually minded, that we walk according to the Spirit of God, that is life and peace. This is why it says love never fails. When we yield to the flesh, we're going toward death. When we yield to the Spirit, the love of God on the inside of us, you know, God is love. He will always lead us in line with love. When the gifts of the Spirit operation, they should be operated in love. It will always be surrounding everything. You cannot walk according to God and not walk in love, because God is love. How could He tell you to do something and it not be love? Amen? If we're spiritually minded, it's life and peace. That means no matter what my flesh is telling me, it's wrong. If it contradicts the Word. You realize you can train your flesh so it wants to do certain things and it's right. But you let it go, it's just going to go right back into the ditch. Right? We got to stay on it. But that means if my flesh really wants to do something and it contradicts what my heart is telling me, what the Spirit of God and what the Word of God is saying, it will produce death if I follow it. It's like when we were talking about the cars. If I can see a wreck coming and I say, if I let that person go, it's gonna. If I let this happen, it's going to be a wreck. If we can see it, we have to change it till we are in the right position. We got to yield to the right thing. You can see it a mile away. Can't you? If you're dealing with somebody, whether it's a roommate, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your child, if I do such and such, I want to say this, but if I do, I know where this is going. Right? And your flesh wants to say it. And it is not godly. It's not what you should do. You may even be right. But you say it now, you're going to be picking up the pieces. Right? Well, I just don't feel like it. I just want to. They made me mad. Which one of those is a reason to override the Spirit of God? Any of them? So I'm going to get in a wreck anyway, because after all, I'm mad. Is that a good reason to get in a wreck? You know what? This guy cut me off, and so I can see if I try to keep him from maneuvering, this could end up with a pile up, but I'm going to do it anyway because I'm ticked. You know that's how wrecks happen sometimes? I'm not letting the guy in. And you can see, this is going to end bad. I'm not yielding. Not going to yield. Is it worth that? We would all say no. But you know as well as I do, the pressure's there. And don't make the mistake of thinking nobody, that anybody else is immune to it. It's not true. We all are going to be pushed to yield to the flesh. Well, if I were married to somebody else, then I wouldn't have this problem. Are you kidding me? Who is this person? They don't exist. Jesus was the only perfect one. You're in his family, but you're not going to be fleshly married to him on this earth. Well, so-and-so, they preach on TV. I know they would never do this. You don't know anything about somebody's personal life. They're preaching under the anointing of God. I'm not making light. We ought to live godly lives, and I'm not making light of the anointing of God. It is holy. We should reverence it. But don't compare who you live with and you see them day to day to somebody you know nothing about. Amen. That's foolish. Amen. Well, I know. You know what? You've been around them? Does somebody that's never lived with you know everything about you? Then what makes us think that we know everything about somebody else? But you're going to compare what you think somebody else is like to what you know the person you live with is like. That's a fallacy. It's an absolute illusion. Or, get this, people compare who they're living with to somebody that's on TV that's reading a script. I'm not kidding. Why don't you act more like so-and-so? They don't act like that when they go off camera. They're reading lines. Well, they're such a good parent. They're not even, maybe not even a parent. This is the way the story was written by somebody. Man, how do they handle that pressure? And they still are so graceful. And I mean, look at, you know, if I were in that, they're not in that situation. Man, if I had my kids doing that, I would never handle it like that. They're not either. It's a movie. It's a television show. Man, they were so sweet how they responded. Did you see how their spouse just came out after them and they just channeled it and just were so sweet? And look at how they had a great, lovely day together because that was written. But people will go, why don't you act more like them? My spouse isn't, you know, they're not like so-and-so. Comparing somebody that does not exist to somebody that you see every little thing. Does that sound wise? Huh? It's not wise, but it's a trap. And all of us are tempted. That's why the Bible says not to compare. To be carnally minded, to be fleshly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let's read the rest of this here. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Just yielding to the flesh will always yield undesirable results. So the thing we have to determine is, number one, the thing we have to know is, we have the Spirit of God. Religion tells you to do something and does not give you the power to do it. Christianity tells us what we ought to do because of what he did and gives us the strength by his Spirit to do it. So we can choose in a situation to yield to the Spirit of God who is already on the inside of us, we may not feel like it. Whenever we say, I don't feel like it, or I want to, we can chalk it up. And if it's contrary to the word, it's our flesh, it's our unrenewed mind, the part of our mind that's not lined up with the word of God. But we can just chalk it up. The more I yield to that, I'm going in a direction I do not want to go. Does not matter how I feel about it. But I have a choice. And it will feel like we don't have a choice. But that is a lie. We do have a choice. We have a choice. Even if our flesh is screaming, even if the other person has done something, we're just so ticked, we have a choice to say, no. I'm choosing to yield to the Spirit. I will choose to yield to love. I will choose to have life and peace. I'm not going down that road. I know where it goes, and I choose the life and peace road. I'm going this way. It tried to pull you. Don't you want to go to the death road? No, I know where it's going. It's not worth me reacting to go down the death road. I'm not going there. Yeah, but they... No, no. I don't care, but they... Yeah, but I feel, but I want to. This is so stupid. No, it's death. Yeah, but that's hard. It's death. What's it going to be like picking up the pieces? It's not fun picking up the pieces. So we need to come back here and say, I'm going down this path. I choose. And when we decide to walk according to the Spirit of God, we are operating spiritually. You are showing you're actually strong in spirit right there in the middle of mundane life. Maybe nobody else sees it. Maybe it was at home. Maybe it was at work. And you said no. You just made a very spiritual decision. That is testing your spiritual strength right there. Doesn't look like a lot of people think, but it is spiritual. It is strong when you say no. And God, let me tell you something. That makes God proud, if you want to say it that way. Probably not the right way to say it, but it makes Him pleased, maybe I should say. He is pleased. He said, that's my girl. That's my boy. Amen.